Hi, and welcome to Film Forums. I'm Richard Williams, creator of this platform, a place dedicated to the filmmaking community. We interview members of the film industry to find out what it really takes to make a movie, bring a script to screen, or secure that acting role. If that sounds good to you, please subscribe to us on YouTube and follow us on your favourite podcasting platform. Thank you. Welcome to Film Forums. I'm Richard Williams, and we're joined by George Gallo, director, writer, producer, artist, and pretty much any other hat you can put on a creative. George appears to have done it, and also co-presenter Aisha Jibeli. So I kind of want to start off by, I've alluded to it there in kind of the opening intro, but our audience may not be aware that you're an award-winning fine artist, and you've sold paintings, as I understand it, to the likes of Robert De Niro and Mel Gibson. So if you were given the choice to make...
Those guys, yes, those people have my paintings. I've sold them. Those guys are actually art thieves. They come by and just take what they want.
Fair enough. Yeah. But yeah, I was going to ask you, if you were given the choice to make one final film or paint one final piece, what would you choose and why?
Wow, that's a heavy question. One final painting or one final movie? You know, there's a couple of movies I would really love to make. There's one right now I hope I get a chance to make. It's very similar. It's interesting because it sort of combines my love of nature and painting. I've got a film that I'm talking to Ruby Rose about and Antonio Banderas about the wine business and about a three-generation kind of war between families. With the whole... the way the vineyards, the whole backstory to Sonoma and Napa Valley is very, very interesting. I wrote a movie called Chase and Crush, which I'm going to be directing. I hope it happens. I hope the finances come together. But it could be just be this epic, like, you know, the movie Giant with Rock Hudson. It's sort of like about the oil business. It's about the wine business. And like I say, it goes back three generations between an immigrant that starts a little tiny little vineyard that eventually over three generations blossoms into the biggest vineyard in Napa, and all the different wars that go on between the various vineyards. And it's a beautiful story. It's about healing and about love and people that are arch enemies, their grandchildren fall in love. Yeah. It's really, it's a really wonderful story. Maybe I could quit after making that one. You know, I mean, I won't quit. I won't quit. I mean, I always say, this is it. I've had it. I'm not doing it. This is not a job for an adult, you know? And then somebody, no, I mean it, like, you know, and then you think to yourself, ah, you know what'd be a good story? And then Inferno, you're off onto another.
I was checking out your art online when I was doing my research, because I had no idea that you were an artist, and wow. You know, I'm sure you hear it a lot, but it's just incredible.
Movies are all about, you know, writing, whether it's a comedy or a drama or whatever you're doing. Writing is all about conflict. You know, there's no resolution till the end of the story. You know, painting is all about harmony for me. So it serves a completely different thing. Like, so after I make a film, like, the last thing I want is conflict. I don't want any conflict in life. I don't want anybody to be fighting. I just want peace, harmony, you know? So then I just go disappear into painting and like, oh, look at that color next to that color. Oh, look at that line next to that shape, you know? So it's just, it's a completely different thing. I love it. I started out as a painter. That really was and is really my first love.
How about the pickups? I hear there's a problem.
You forget who you're talking to?
I'm the former police commissioner. As a woman.
You're a caretaker?
Hey, Damon.
George, can you tell us what your film Vanquish is about, please?
Vanquish, it's all based on backstory. It takes place in one night. And have you seen the film?
I haven't had the chance to see it yet, no.
Yeah, it all takes place in one night. It's a thriller, certainly, in sort of the traditional sense. It all takes place in a very compressed amount of time. And Morgan Freeman is a retired police commissioner who was like a hero cop, but he's in a wheelchair from being hurt on the job. And then as we come to find out, he is not a hero at all. Just a terrible, horrible guy and just corrupt to the core. We're not sure if he's really a vicious guy or if he's having a moment of redemption. We're never quite sure throughout a lot of the movie. And Ruby Rose is his caretaker who cooks for him and takes care of him. But he's sort of been protecting her in that she has a very dark past and there's a lot of people that would love her out of the way because she used to be a courier and ran all kinds of horrible schemes, you know, and may even be involved in murder. But she has vowed to never do anything like that again. And she's got a lovely daughter now and she just wants to be a mom and turn her back on that world. The way the movie is set up, she has to go back for one night to save her daughter, pick up all of this money and go back into the world that she vowed never to be a part of and deal with a lot of the people that want her dead. And during the course of the night, you realize there's really something else going on.
Yeah, I thought the trailer, which I have seen, is very interesting. It seemed to me that Morgan, I don't know, I sensed that he had some fun with this role, as kind of dark as it is. Would that be fair to say?
Yes, it's absolutely fair. He's an old friend now. You know, we've done three movies together, and we're going to do a fourth movie. Yeah, he's just a great guy, and we're buddies now. And you know, once you get out of the way that he's Morgan Freeman, you know, which. My God, that's Morgan Freeman. Who am I to tell him what to do? You know, but once you get that out of the way and you realize he's just this really sweet guy and he just wants to do the best performance he can do. He's fun to direct because he's my friend. So he'll say, no, how is that? And what do you think? Can I try this?
I saw him in an interview. I think it was at Cambridge or Oxford University. And he had some students doing a kind of like this, really, a bit of a question and answer session. And he was so down to earth. He had no airs and graces. He was very generous with his time, very warm with his answers. You could have expected something different. So, yeah, no, sorry, I just remembered that as you were talking about him. So, yeah.
He's just a sweetheart. I think a lot of times with actors or anybody who's creative, you know, you make a movie and you work with a lot of different kind of personalities. And I think a lot of it at the very beginning is everyone's trying to figure out if the other one's okay. Is the other one there because they're an egomaniac? Is the other one there because, or are they just there to try to do something good collaboratively, have a good time? And I try to put everybody at ease from the very beginning. I'm like, look, we all know why we're here. We're here to make a movie. We're here to make entertainment. We're here to make people laugh, cringe, scream, whatever, you know, whatever we're doing. We're kind of like, let's figure out a way. Let's just all join hands. And, you know, everyone's got a voice. Let's take, you know, I'm like the captain of the ship, but I'm also listening to everybody on the crew. So making a movie is a big collaborative. You know, I got to tell you something. Somebody said to me years ago, they said, don't get so wrapped up in the work, you know. Let in a funny way, let the movie become a byproduct of you having a good time. That I think if you approach it that way, suddenly like it's off your back in a funny way, and you're just swinging and having a good time like a bunch of jazz musicians, you know. So if you hit a wrong note, you hit a wrong note.
I will find you. You got three more stops.
I need to get my daughter back.
It is not safe for me out there.
I don't see that you have much choice.
So what I was hoping to find out was, how did you come to this point in your career? What was your journey to making this film?
It's funny. I don't know. I've always considered myself kind of a journeyman filmmaker in that I like all different genres and I love movies. I mean, I've watched lots of movies. I've always loved these sort of thrillers. If they're done right, they can be fun. You know, a lot of times they can be by the numbers if you're not careful, because people make lots of them. And I said to myself, if I ever get a chance to make a thriller like this, I'm going to try to find a way to make it different, look different, feel different. That was my way in on this one. I kept saying, look, there's a version of this that you've seen a million times. And then there's a version of this that could seem very fresh. So I think part of it was casting Morgan and Ruby. They're just not people that you would expect to find, you know, at the center of it. Ruby possibly, because she comes from an action background, but you know, Morgan, you wouldn't think necessarily corrupt, nasty, horrible human being. And I think the combination of he and Ruby were very interesting because they're very different people. And then thrusting them into this situation that is sort of a nail biter in that it has to get resolved in 12 hours. you know, like in terms of the visuals, I kept thinking, all right, we've seen it this way. Let's try it differently. Where can we put the camera that's different? What kind of lens can we use that's different? What color palette can we come up with that's different? You know, she makes 5 stops in the movie. So I was like, oh, let's have each place look just completely different from the last place, populated by completely different people. And how do we do that with wardrobe? And how do we make the movie always seem fresh? Because the movie like this could get very redundant very quickly. So I said, well, what can we do that's different? And I think we pulled it off.
So how long did it take you to actually shoot the whole film?
It didn't take us very long. It all takes place in one night. So it was all night shoots. But originally we had 30 days and that started getting chipped away because we had to evacuate twice because of hurricanes. We were shooting on the Gulf Coast. So we would shoot 2-3 days and then we had to evacuate because of a hurricane. So then we lost a couple of days. Then we came back, we'd shoot some more, and then somebody tested positive for COVID. So then we had to shut down again. And then it turned out it was a false positive, but then we lost another couple of days. And then we started shooting again for about 10, 12 days. And then another hurricane showed up and then we had to evacuate again. So I don't know the exact amount of days, but in the end, I probably lost about 7-8 days. We managed because everybody on the crew was a Spartan. We just muscled through it and we got everything we needed.
Fantastic. That's really, it's always interesting to find out how long, you know, it's taken for a feature, because for some people it can take quite a long time and then other people, they just kind of pound it out quite quickly. So it's really interesting to hear how you actually like make that happen.
Yeah, I'm not big on waiting and I'm not big on shooting millions of takes. I could tell you my Morgan Freeman story. The first time I worked with Morgan was several years ago on a movie, and I'm thinking to myself, this is before I knew him, you know, before we became friends. And the first day of shooting with Morgan, he goes, all right, where do you want me to stand? I said, could you stand over by the window? Because I want to get a silhouette of you. And then you turn and you say your opening line. And he said, okay. And he went over to the window and I'm like, my God, that's Morgan Freeman over there. Okay. So, and then we shot the scene and we shot the take. And then he looked at me and he said, anything? And I went, honestly, no. I mean, that was really it. And he goes, you and me are going to get along just fine. So after that, we became best buddies. So he's Morgan Freeman. He gets it in 1 or 2 takes. That's it. So I don't see any point in shooting 20 more takes. You're just going to get, you know, 18 variations of the same great performance. You know, I'm also a landscape painter. And part of being a painter outdoors is that the sun is moving constantly and rapidly. And if the sun is moving, you don't have time to dawdle. You just have to get it down and get it down and get it down again. And I think once you start to say to yourself, okay, I'm not going to give myself a million variations, then you start to make very strong decisions and then you live and die by them and you start to move very quickly. And I got to tell you, the crew loves it. The actors especially love it because you're not killing them. You know, now, there's an interesting thing about acting. A real pro actor will know right away if you're going to shoot a lot of takes or not. And if you shoot 2 or 3 takes and move, they know they have to bring it in 2 or 3 takes. If you're going to shoot 30 takes, they won't try hard until they take 18, you know, because why should they give you their absolute best at the beginning if you're going to keep going anyway? So I tell everybody, I say, look, I'm not big on killing everyone. So all these people come from theater backgrounds. So if you come from a theater background, you got to get it right the very first time. So they're ready to go. So I think they appreciate it. And I like working that way.
There are too many people waiting for me to make this mistake.
You ran drugs for the Russians. You were a courier in and out of Moscow.
Who is she?
You know who she is. Just stay out of her way.
So I just wanted to ask about your casting process. How did you approach that?
Well, you know, it's interesting. With Morgan, he's my buddy. So when we were writing the script, I was writing it for him in mind. With Ruby, I didn't know who was going to play that part. I just had this sort of like badass in my head, you know, this badass woman. The thing with Ruby that's so interesting about her is she's very, very tough, but she's also vulnerable. So she's always got those two things going on at the same time that I find interesting. Ruby, we got lucky, to be honest with you. I had no, you know, she was on a list of people and I talked to her. And after like being on the phone with her for a couple of minutes, I just knew she got it. You know, you know, she's tough, you know, because what I didn't want to do is I didn't want to make the, you know, sometimes these movies are so absurd, you know, where, and it's not a male female thing, you know, but it's like anyone who weighs 90 pounds beating up guys that are 400 pounds that they're on steroids. It always looks a little ridiculous to me. But so I said to Ruby, I said, look, I want to believe that you are just, I'm not afraid of anybody, you know, and that you can really kick their ass. And she's doing it to save her daughter in the movie. So she's also got that added thing. It's like, I'm doing this to save my child. She got into a mindset that I think was terrific. It's that this woman will just dismember you and then go out and have a sandwich. She doesn't give a shit. Make the movie like self-aware and ridiculous. You know what I mean? And she's just, it just is what it is. And she's just tough. She's just tough because she doesn't care. You know, she's going to get this thing solved.
So if you were to give an actor a piece of advice for auditioning in front of you, what would it be?
Oh, just, that's very funny. I don't, you know, I'm not your standard director, you know, in that. I just love actors. You know, it's very funny. I can tell you a quick story. Years ago, I was doing a movie and we were seeing actor after actor after actor, and it just wasn't connecting. It wasn't connecting. And I don't know why. It just wasn't, you know, and I think people were trying to be funny. It was a comedy. And this one guy came in. He's no longer with us. He passed away. He got the part in the movie. He came in and he sat down. And I could almost tell by his posture. I was like, I think this is the guy. I could just tell already. He just had something about him. And he sat down. The line was, that smell is the wave of the future. That was his opening line in the audition. And the casting director said, what's that smell? And he said, that smell is the wave of the future. And I just said, stop, you got the part. And because I just knew, I said, I'm not going to put you through the other four pages. I just knew. And, you know, it's just, you could just tell, you know, a lot of times what's sad is about an actor is they don't get a part, not because they gave a rotten audition. They just, exactly what you needed, what the movie needed, you know, and that's the part about directing I don't like. I don't like telling people they can't get a part, you know. Don't take it, if you don't get a part, don't take it to heart. It had probably had little to do with you.
Do you think it's easier or harder to make it as a filmmaker now compared to sort of the late 80s, early 90s when you started out?
I think it's easier to some degree in that you can make movies on iPhones and you can, you know, if I were a kid, you know, I'd be running around with iPhones making movies with my friends. And, you know, there was none of that stuff existed. You could cut them on your computer. There was no way to do anything like that. You know, you had to figure out a way to get your hands on $100,000. I didn't have any of those resources. You know, I mean, I shot a lot of movies in Super 8 just to entertain myself, you know, but you can do really terrific quality stuff today and show the world what you've got. You know, whereas like when I was starting out, those options did not exist. You just get better. You know, whether you're making a movie on an iPhone or you're making it, you know, with a, you know, an 8K camera with a giant film crew, it's still an image. It's an image looking at something and you're telling a story using images. That's all it really is. So whether you got a million people behind you, which is just you and the iPhone, it's just an image. It's, you know, it's got a frame. You can't go beyond the frame. And you're telling a story using images.
What one piece of advice would you give to aspiring filmmakers that perhaps you wish you'd been given when you started out?
Two things. I would take the work very, very seriously, but at the same time, don't take it so seriously that you're not having fun. Okay. The point of doing this is to have a good time. One person said to me is, let the movie become a byproduct of you having fun. And the second thing somebody said to me, Sidney Pollack, brilliant director, and was a very dear friend. When I was getting ready to direct my first movie, I said, Sidney, do you have any advice? He said, yes, let the movie tell you what it wants to be. So while you're making it, really watch what's going on. You know, you may have a preconceived idea, but if it's starting to get comedic because the actors are so funny together, he said, don't stop them, let them go. There's nothing wrong with a little comedy. There's nothing wrong with a little warmth. You know, if that's the place that it's organically going, let it go that way. Don't pull it back and, you know, and fight what the movie's natural, where, you know, because look, you have a preconceived idea of what you want a piece of art to be, but then it becomes its own thing. It lives without you. So at some point you got to let it go and let it be what it wants to be. That's the advice I would give any filmmaker.
Brilliant. That's a lovely way to end, George.
Oh, no, that's it. That was the quickest 20 minutes of my life. Wow.
No, brilliant. George Gallo, thank you so much for joining us. It's been amazing listening to every minute of what you've said, honestly. So we really, really appreciate it. Thank you.
You got it. My pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening. Please subscribe to us on YouTube and follow us on your favourite podcasting platform. Visit film-forums.com for more.